Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. We have sound problem, technical problem, but we have muttered our way through it. Starting a little late, but that's okay. We're just fine. In the studio with me, well within striking distance. They won't give me the right answers. I carry this little baseball bat under the stage here.
That's what you call it.
Yeah.
I'd heard about that.
Yeah. Mark, why do I come here every Saturday and get this abuse? This don't pay enough for this kind of abuse. The incomparable Mark Tobin.
Not to be confused with the incomparable Angela Jarvis.
No, this is true.
You're not a Peter Sellers fan, are you?
Oh, yes.
You remember Angela Jarvis?
Yeah.
Who could forget? Yeah.
Especially when you give him that big kiss, you know. You ever have a man try to kiss you?
I have not, to my knowledge.
Not to your knowledge? I think Blake was wanting to, but I wasn't real sure. I don't know about him.
I had to stop those urges, Fred.
I'm getting to worry about you, Blake. That's our illustrious producer. In the studio, we have Mr. Thompson here with us.
Mr. Thompson, what did I do? Or what do you want?
Well, I have got fish fever. I showed you the video of the crappie.
Yeah. Amazing.
Well, allegedly awesome. 1 pound, 2 pound, 8 ounce one.
Big crappie.
2 pound, 6 ounce ones.
Can we say where that was?
No. They were sworn to secrecy.
And that dynamite didn't tear them up too bad.
No, yeah, not too bad. Not as bad. But them come to the top, you know. All I can tell you is it's not that far away from here.
And it is on the Kansas side.
It is on the Kansas side. But, boy, that opens up an awful lot of water, don't it?
Yeah, well, I'm telling you, I'm hearing so many good reports. You know, we got that warm weather in the middle of last week, and everybody was out. It doesn't matter. You know, Clinton, Hillsdale, Perry, Melvern, all of them were really, really good. I don't know about this cold weather again, but, you know, they're grouped up in big bunches right now. It's just really one of the best times of the year to go fishing. But, unfortunately, on the Kansas side, you find some fish and you're going to have some company. I know I talked to a guy that was fishing out of Hillsdale, and he did real good, but he had 30 boats around him.
30.
Yeah, you know, that's just kind of takes some of the fun out of it.
What about Smithfield? Anybody hear anything out of Smithfield anymore?
I haven't talked to anybody at Smithfield, either. But I'm sure, as good as it is everywhere else, you got to be able to find some fish there. Problem is, and same thing that Truman talked to Richard Bowling over on Truman. He's fishing up in the creeks anywhere from 14, 16 foot deep, and the fish are 14, 16 foot of water, catching them down suspended 8 to 10 feet. But he's just seeing jillions of fish. Huh. And fishing the creeks at the mouth and on in about halfway. And, it's if you catch a little one, you might as well move because you're just going to catch nothing but little ones. They're kind of schooled up according to their size. But, it sounds like the fishing is going to be – it's just been spectacular the last – since that high water has receded. And it's just every day it seems like just one good report after another. And
I got a good report out of Bull Shoals.
Is that right?
Yeah. Wow. I talked to a gentleman that was, in fact, he was going again today or yesterday, but he was heading down there again. He said, it's that good. But he said, the problem that I'm having is, he said, I lack a lot of enthusiasm because it gets a lot of 6-inch crappie. He said, it's just 6-inch, 7-inch, 8-inch, 9-inch, and he said, you got to wade through a lot of them to get one that you can fry up in a pan,
And that's exactly what Richard Bowling is saying. And if you get into those little ones, just move. Because, you might wade through a bunch and get one or two keepers, but it's just go. because there's a lot of big fish out there. You just, you know, they're grouping up to their size. So Richard's still got some openings. Brian Andranka, the Kansas angling experience over on the Kansas side, you know, get in on this right now, this month and through February, maybe into March. I mean, it's as good as it as it's going to get right now.
You know, this is, for me, kind of a nervous time of year. Not too far going to be here, spring gobbling. Not too far from that, you'll be picking some mushrooms. Not too far from that, you'll be catching some big crappie moving in on the bank. You know, this is something to look forward to. And well, here it is in the middle of January, practically. And, you know, it's hard to keep enthused, you know, about the great outdoors when it's this cold and miserable and the wind changes so much. And one day it's warm, the next day it's cold. And it's just, you know, you just can't get motivated and focused enough.
True. And the other problem that we're having right now, it was, you know, when I got up this morning, it was 19 in my house out in Green Valley. And early in the week, Richard Bowling had a video out on the water and a lot of ice. And everything thawed out Wednesday and Thursday, but then there was some ice starting to form yesterday in the backs of the coves, and I'm sure it's going to be that way today. So it wasn't so thick that you couldn't bust through it, but that's something to keep in mind if you're going out. You might want to go out just a little bit later.
Yeah, I think so. You know, that's tough fishing, man. I mean, it's hard to stay focused.
I remember the first time we were at Perry, and a guy I think he ran the marina there. He took me out fishing, and he had a big aluminum boat, and we went out and busted through ice to get out on the main lake, got up out of the main lake, and there was a cove that he wanted to fish. They had a tree in it. Well, it was covered with ice, and he pulled in there and went around and around the base of this tree, breaking the ice so we could fish it. It just made the most god-awful noise. I mean, that aluminum boat going through that ice was just – and I thought, this is stupid. There's no way. If there's any fish down there, they're long gone by now. Well, I'll be damned. I mean,
yeah, here they
just
come,
as
huh?
soon as we started dropping down there, we just hammered him. I just couldn't believe it.
Hey, our guy that comes in the studio with us, Kelly Kurtz, the greatest outdoorsman ever walked the face of the earth, sent me and you some pictures of some fish, didn't he?
And some video.
And
video. Spear fishing. These are northern pike. Huge.
Northern pike.
Huge. 15, 17, 18 pound.
Through the ice?
Well, they had now I couldn't tell. It looks like some kind of like a shanty or some kind of a
place to drink beer in.
Yeah, right.
That's what it was.
It had a big square hole cut in the ice.
Yeah.
And they put a decoy down there, which is just a wooden, looks like a wooden lure. I mean, I couldn't see it above the water, but you could see it in the water. And what was it? He chummed with bread or no?
Yeah,
what was it?
I didn't.
Chummed with bread or I can't remember. But that wooden decoy down there, you could see it, and the fish are curious, and they just come swimming by to look at it, and they spear them.
Spear them.
Now, I didn't get a good explanation of what the spear is.
Must be a dandy. Some of them are 8 foot deep.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he's throwing it by hand.
Well, he said he threw 12 times and got 11 fish.
Wow.
That's unbelievable. I mean, it looks so much fun.
Oh, I bet
these are huge. Pike head, one up 23 pounds, 24 pounds, whatever that was.
Yeah, big northern.
Yeah.
Have you eaten northern?
I have, and it's excellent, unbelievably good. Now, I've had it for shore lunches when I've been in Canada. And whenever you have a shore lunch, by the time you get to lunch, and you can testify to this, Greg, in Brazil, and you've had plenty of shore lunches. But by the time you get to shore lunch, you're completely ravenous. I mean, anything would taste good.
Yeah.
So it probably tastes a little better than maybe I think it is. But, absolutely wonderful.
What about the Y-bone?
Well, that's the thing. And, if you if you catch one and you've never cleaned one, probably ought to watch it. There are a lot of videos out there now to show how to. And once you know how to do it, it's not hard to get that bone.
It's impossible, isn't it, to get it out of there?
No, not at all.
Absolutely not.
No, it's very easy. Very easy.
The locals would rather eat the northern than they would the walleye.
And that's the truth.
What?
Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
And the locals are nuts.
No, I'm telling you, it's that good. Very good. But, you know, a lot of people.
Is it comparable to.
Better than walleye.
Chicken? what is it? I mean, what's the deal?
It's just very white, firm meat, very, very mild.
Wow. But that bone comes out, it just looks like a zipper. When they get finished cutting it, they just pull it out and it looks like a zipper coming out.
Yep. Need the Wonder Boner. I got more comments off the Wonder Boner video than anything. If you haven't been to our Facebook, the Midwest Outdoors, unbelievable. And that guy looks at the camera and said, my wife would really enjoy this. Said, only Tobin could drag us off into the ditch like
hey,
that.
Hey, I didn't do it. You did that.
I did not mention Wonder Boner whatsoever.
That, well, you just did.
Well, I
this
mean,
week you
the
did.
Start this thing.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that is. That's a great. It, yeah, Greg put that up on our Facebook page. So,
you know, as I get older and I look back a little bit here, fishermen are the weirdest creatures to walk the face of the earth. I'm not kidding you. You can tell those guys to get pink crappie jigs, which I have. I've purchased them, bought them. We've all bought them.
I just bought some 2 days ago.
Yeah, and try them, you know. And I mean, if he said to the fishermen, wear pink underwear, you'll catch twice as many fish, they would put on pink underwear.
Do you have some of those?
Well, I would try it, I guess, you know.
No, the pink underwear.
Yeah, do you have some of those pink
they
underwear?
They were his wife originally.
I know where you can get them.
Maybe too much. Oh, really?
But, fishermen are weird creatures.
Yes, we are.
I mean, it's just absolutely bizarre.
You know, talking about strange things, talking to Richard Bowling, and I was asking him what his favorite lures are, and he started using feather jigs again, and he
sure.
makes them. And
why did he get away from them?
Well, and it's probably the same reason I did. That's what I exclusively fished with when I was growing up, and my dad taught me how to make them, and there's just something about making your own lure and catching fish.
Sure,
it's a hoot.
Yeah.
When the plastic tubes came out, well, it was so easy to change colors. You didn't have to break off your line and
sure.
tie on a new. So mm-hmm. And we just switched over to plastics, and I never went back. But he said, you watch on the live scope how the action on a feathered jig works. He says you can't keep it still.
Yeah.
But they took it a step further. His son did. His son got a haircut. And his other son took some of his brother's hair and made crappie lures out of it.
Why not?
And they have been catching fish on that.
I just go back to my original statement. Fishermen are weird. I'm telling you, they'll try anything once.
Well, we hook a fish, we look at it, and we throw it back.
Yeah, not all of it.
No, not him. He ate gar.
Oh,
I did. Yeah, I'd do it again, too.
No, you would not.
I would.
You would not eat gar again.
Absolutely.
On a bet. Would you?
Well, if I didn't have anything else. But I would. It's that good. I mean, they're a pain in the butt to clean.
You got a pair of pliers.
They're
clean them. Hey, we are brought to you by KingCityLumber.com, my favorite sponsor. They're wonderful, wonderful people. If you're looking for a horsey shed, Doug, need a horsey shed?
No, Doug. It's Greg. And I was thinking maybe they could build one of those shanties so we could spear northerns.
I got him. Greg Doug Thompson.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, I got you fired
else,
up.
Fred.
I've got you fired up this morning. You've turned the collar
well,
in your face. I put the collar back in your face.
I was told to always respect my elders, so I'll just keep shut up.
I am getting a little long in the tooth. And
you got teeth left?
Got four. Well, this is not fair to King City Lumber. They're such good humans, and here we are. Never mind. Got clear off the beaten path. That would make a good shanty. They could build you a shanty and go on your ice. That's a good idea. Maybe I'll call Marty Monty and say, hey, you need to start building these fishing shanties.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that work?
We don't have the ice here, but.
The ice isn't near thick enough anywhere. At Maryville, even at Mazingo or anything. It wouldn't even get close to it. You could die. I see what they found. Kelly was telling me yesterday on the phone. They found some guy's gloves, and that was it.
Ooh.
Or you see where he clawed trying to get back up on the ice up there.
Ooh.
So that'd be a
horrible.
Terrible way to go.
Oh,
I wouldn't wish that on Blake. Well, I might. End the deal. If you need an outbuilding, I don't know where I got off the track here. These are the finest humans to walk face the earth. King City Lumber, the garage, whatever you're looking, go to their website, kingcitylumber.com. You're going to spend a long, long time there. They will help you design it. If you don't see what you like, they are good, good people. Also, while I'm on my soapbox, I get so much feedback from people looking at luckysnipe.com.
It's just bizarre.
It's a weird website.
Yeah, you can't really even hardly describe it. You just got to go there because the range of things that they offer is so wide. It's just crazy.
Crazy website. Love it.
But it's stuff that we want.
Yes, we got to have it.
Yeah.
In male bonding time, you know, you got to
It's like going to the old Wild Woodies.
You know what? That's very true. You remember that.
What is it?
Wild Woody's is a brick-and-mortar store that would be comparable to Lucky Snipe.
Over on Nolan Road, it was. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Really? Right. Oh, we used to have Block Company, or H&R. Well, it wasn't H&R. It was, I can't remember. It was downtown St. Joe. And that guy had, you walk in there, he had a 55-gallon drum full of guns. And they were in Cosmoline, and they came from Saudi Arabia or whatever.
Yep.
$5 a piece.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, when
and
I was a kid.
$200 to buy the ammo if you could buy it. But now,
you know, if you'd have bought them, some of them guns are worth about $1,000 a piece.
Wow.
It's been a pretty darn good investment. You know, what the hey. We got to take a break. I don't know how we got clear off.
We veered drastically.
Strange things happen on this radio show.
Your mind
must
works
be
in mysterious.
I've got a multi-million dollar idea when we come back. We're going to all get rich.
Okay.
You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. Take a little break. We'll be right back with you. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe I shouldn't talk about this million-dollar idea on the air because everybody will copy it. We could get rich. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what I want to do. You know, a lot of men wear aftershave. Old Spice, whatever. I think my dad wore Old Spice for 38 years. But we're going to make a crappie scent. You just put it on once a month. 3-day old crappie scent, and you just stand around the top of the boat, and the fish will surely smell it, and they'll come to your boat quicker.
Hmm.
And I think we got the same deal we could do with deer. See, outdoor people are nuts, and we were talking about that. They're crazy. We could use 55-gallon drum. We'll just sell it by 55-gallon drum.
Yeah, the heck with that.
Cabela's, Bass Pro. And I think it's got merit.
Have you taken your meds this morning?
No, yet.
That explains something, yes.
Do you think this would work? Can you imagine having dead crappie smell on you and getting on the bus or going to a restaurant or something?
You would create social distancing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you would get waited on quicker because they'd want you out of there. There's a lot of merit to this. Fishermen are nuts. They will buy. If I told you you could put this stuff behind your ear, this effervescence of crappie, you can catch more crappie, you would probably try it, Tobin.
Yeah.
I think I'll invest my money in divorce attorneys if he brings out this
55-gallon drum bulk. That's what we'll sell it in. You know, you can imagine the guy going down the lake with a 55-gallon drum in the middle of the boat. You guys are not shaking your head. No, you don't think this is a good idea?
No, it's not. Sorry.
Okay. I just thought I'd bring it up. I thought I had something that came to me as I was coming down the interstate this morning. Today is my one-year anniversary.
Of?
I saw the biggest deer I've ever saw in my life coming back from this radio station.
Really?
1 year ago today on 435.
Whereabouts?
Alive or dead?
I can't tell you. Alive. Chasing a doe in the middle of January.
Really?
Yeah. I'll never forget that deer if I live to be 1,000.
Huh.
What a whitetail deer. For me to turn around and come back and take a look at him.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, and I sat and watched him for 20 minutes with Zeiss binoculars, so I know what I'm talking about. There ain't nothing like that on the face of the earth. That deer was humongous. It was typical, too.
Wow.
Never heard or seen anything since?
Never. I've been there. I look every time I go back to St. Joe, and I've never seen that deer again. But wow. I'll never forget that deer. That was the darndest deer I've ever saw. Such so much wide mass and typical, big long tines. Watch him for 20 minutes, chase that doe. 15 minutes, something like that.
Talk about big deer. We're going to talk about a big animal coming up after the break here at the bottom of the hour.
A finelk.
What's a finelk?
Not to be confused with a bonaire. I don't know where.
No, it would be an elk.
Elk.
That was taken by Gene Gilkey. And he was one of the lucky five people that were chosen to hunt the first Missouri elk season.
Got four of the five. Didn't they fill the tags, or was it all five?
I think all five did.
Did they?
I think so.
The last I looked, it was four of the five when it was still pretty well into the season, and I refused to go back and look at it. But
yeah, I think I'm thinking all five did.
I saw his picture.
Oh, boy, what a monster.
What a bull.
And I think we'll find out the story from him, but I think he said it was either the first or second. I don't know that it's been scored yet. First or second biggest.
Oh, it looked awful big to me. That ain't the biggest. I don't know what would be. I'd like to see the other one.
Yeah, right.
Was he the third or fourth one to kill one, wasn't he? Something like that?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Legally.
Legally, yeah.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, some of them got harvested down there by the good old boys, which burns my butt, but what the hell. You know, everybody's got to be somewhere. What about blow the dam at Truman? What's going on?
They are starting to. They've been running a little bit of water this week, and was talking to a guy that has a bait store down there where I get my tubes, Jim Ferguson from Ferg's Bait and Tackle, and
is he one of the Ferguson boys? The older boys. Yeah.
He is,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
But he said there were a few walleye taken this week.
Nice.
It's a little early, but when they're running water, you never know what you might get. And I've seen some white bass are getting caught. There's not very many people fishing down there, but they did run some water this week. And, it's time to start poking around down there and checking, see if those walleye moved up there. But, yeah, he heard of it.
Greg Doug Thompson said that walleye is not as good fish as a northern.
According to the people in Canada that I always fish with, they would much rather have a northern instead of a pickerel?
Yeah.
Pickerel.
Yeah.
Pickerel.
Pickerel's a subspecies of the northern, isn't it?
You're telling this story.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Yeah, but now I like my walleye.
We need to hark on this just for a minute here. You can't go to Canada anyway. They don't want you up there.
That's true.
They don't like Americans, I felt, you know. But anyway, going to Mexico or where you like to go to South America and fishing, is that out?
Anywhere right now, as of January 26th, you got to understand that you have to have a valid negative test within 3 days to come in back into the United States.
COVID test.
A COVID test, yes. Or... you have to have a
test, Tobin.
Yeah, you have to have a letter from a health official that you've recovered from COVID and it's been over 90 days, or you've got to have a valid shot that you've had the vaccine. And the caveat is that I just read again a while ago is if you get a valid test and your flight is delayed after you got it, you got to start all over and take it again.
Whoa.
Yeah. So be careful, all these guys that are going to Mexico or Canada that are flying out of their lodges back to the airport and flying back home. You're not going to be able to fly right back home. You're going to have to stay a few days around the airport until you get your test confirmed.
This is not good.
This is not good.
Why don't they just take ivermectin and go on about their life? That's what I would do.
That's what I'm doing.
That's what I'm doing. You know, ivermectin, great product. Everybody going, what?
Yeah.
Dog warmer? Did you say Serta wanted to come? If we had this deal in the parking lot, Serta said he would come?
He said he'd come and even sign autographs.
On blackjacks? I think we ought to do this, Mark. I know that's kind of an odd time for you because it'll be May and we'd have you be out mowing grass.
No, it's on a weekend, so.
Maybe we could get away with it. You think they'd let us use the parking lot all three of us showed up same time?
That would be
our
my question.
Listeners?
That would be my question.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody would show up. I think we ought to do it. You know, Dick said he'd come up and teach fly casting to people.
It'd be fun.
Yeah, you know, we've had all these other guys. We have a little feed out here and have some crappie fillets. Have Kelly bring some of his northern down and Andy will provide all the mushrooms. He picks them by the bushel.
I don't think the parking lot's big enough to handle our listenership.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know either.
We got some fat people. You know.
Phil Taunton, our good friend, What's an Outdoors radio show, he said he'd make chicken on a stick.
Wow, maybe we ought to do this. Does anybody come to our Facebook and wanted to do this, or they all been
there? Yes, absolutely.
They?
Absolutely.
All three of them?
All three of them. Serta was the one that said, get it started. He'd come up, sign the autographs, and the whole bit. He's in.
I want his autograph.
He's got yours a few times, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Man. He has clipped me. He got his retirement plan. It's called the Fred Ramsey Retirement Plan. I don't know. Hey, today, now you don't have to listen to this commercial. Today is the day you go get a new Chevrolet truck at Reed Chevrolet.
Oh.
Today. You put it off long enough. It's after the first year. you know, your accountant will probably say, hey, you made too much money, go buy something nice.
Well, and the other thing, we've got the championship game tomorrow afternoon, and it's a long day today, and we need diversions, something
exactly.
to pass the
Good
time.
Good point.
Yep.
Justified it.
Yep.
You've justified
yep.
it.
So what better way to make this day go quick than to go up to Reach Everlay and buy a new vehicle?
I was in there yesterday talking to those guys, and I don't know what it is about that place. I just like hanging out with them. They are the most positive, upbeat, nicest people I've ever been around in my life. And they'll just bend over backward to help you. And I always say this in every commercial, they'll never sell you a car. They'll help you buy one.
Yep, that's right.
And if you don't like the price, just poo-poo the price and go on. And they'll say, well, okay. You know, let's move. But I guarantee their first price will be better than anybody else's.
That's right.
They are just one. And getting some inventory in again, they've got a whole – if a guy's looking for – you know, they got some 2012s, 14, 16s, 18 used pickups up there that people have traded in. I'm telling you, this is a time to go do it. Today would be a great, great, great day on the deal. So, Reed Chevrolet. Can't say enough good things about Trev and Reed and that whole family.
Oh, God. They're just
wonderful
better.
People.
Yep.
You know, I mean, how in the world do you get any nicer?
And the salespeople are non-commissioned, and that, I'm telling you, you have to experience it. It makes all the difference in the world.
If you'll set your cruise on 100, you'll be there in 28 minutes from the end of the runway at KCI. Is that all right? 100? Okay. And if the highway patrolman stops you, say, listen, I'm going to buy a new pickup. And he'll go, oh, well, go ahead. And that'll be the end of the deal, won't it?
Probably not.
You don't think so?
No.
Reed Chevrolet, can't say enough good things about them. Please do business with them. They support our troops. They're a military family. They're good humans, as we say. So you're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry, but you're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We're going to have a little shindig out in the parking lot here in May. You in? Huh? You in? You're shaking your head. All right. This is not TV. You got to.
I don't have a choice, do I?
No.
I got to be there.
You do?
Somebody's got to bring the fun.
Well, yeah. Well, that's true. So you can put this on automatic pilot, can't you, and come out in the parking lot and eat some coffee fillets?
We'll see what I can do about that.
Well, we can bring it up to you, I guess. Not a deal. Huh. And Greg Doug Thompson's going to provide all the beer.
I'll drink to that.
By the magic of the telephone, we have Gene Gilkey, the greatest elk hunter to ever walk the face of the earth, one of the most successful people, one of five. I think they did harvest five of them, if I'm thinking. I do remember that now. Gray matter's not lining up. Gene, I tell you what, we're going to throw you in the mix here. Now, we're going to do Bird of the Week. And, Gene, I hope you're listening. And we'll just see if anybody can get this. Are we ready?
Barely.
Bird of the Week.
Okay, so here's a hint. This is what you're going to tell me after the show.
You're a turkey.
That's the hint.
Ooh. This is a family show.
Hey.
Okay, let's try this one.
Well, everybody's heard about the bird. Bird. Bird's a winner. Well, a bird.
Don't hear it.
Fine.
Get what is it, Mark? You got that look. What is this bird? Come on, Mark, spit it out.
And it's something we would call you after.
No,
the show.
Something you would tell me after the show.
Something we would tell you.
You ready?
I can't say that on air. Yeah.
It's any guess?
It's a dodo.
It is a bacaw.
That is a gray go away bird.
Oh. Gene, would you have guessed that?
That would have been my second guess.
So, believe it or not, the official name of this bird is the gray lory, and I think this is actually one of the first birds that we had for Bird of the Week. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Really?
A gray lory?
That's the other name that it's been given, yeah.
In South America? Or?
It's Africa, actually.
Africa.
Uh-huh.
Well, no wonder I haven't been over there for a week or 10 days.
Well, I'm going to try to go over there in the fall.
A go-away bird. I like that.
That's a very... Gene, I am so proud of you for shooting that elk. I was just looking at your picture this morning. How big? Have you had that elk measured?
No, I can't measure it till February officially, but we rough guessed at about 312.
Dang. Boy, it looks better than that. Yeah, now that is a monster elk, man. Is that, I guess, within the top five? Because it's only been five.
Yeah. It's either going to be one or two.
Is it going to be one or two?
Yeah, I think so. The other, there's a guy that took a nice 6x6, and it's hard to tell with the pictures, you know, the angles and the settings, but one of those two will probably be the first state record.
Wow. So impressive.
It's so impressive. And they're such good groceries.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, elk hunt meat is just absolutely phenomenal.
How come you have to wait until February to have it scored?
It has to dry out.
Dry out.
Okay.
Yeah. I tell you a little trick on that is put a tuba for them. Don't let it dry too much.
Yeah, we were just going to soak them in a pond for a week or two.
Are you having that the head mounted?
Yes, with the blessings of my wife, I'm having that head mounted, head and shoulders, and putting it in my house.
So have ceilings tall enough to be able to hang something that big?
Fortunately, about 5 years ago, we bought a new home, and it's got big ceilings, so I don't have any worry.
Well, cut a hole in the roof if it doesn't. Yeah. I mean, you got to keep that one.
If there's not enough room for the mount and the meat, give me a call, and I'll come across the street and get some of that.
That sounds good.
Boy, did you buy a lottery ticket the same day you got your elk tag?
No, I should have. I tell you, I had three or four people in the family tell me that. So it's unbelievable that I think the odds were the odds against me getting drawn were like 99.994 or something like that.
Wow, yeah. Unbelievable.
What, 35,000 applied? Know what it was? Does anybody know?
19,000
applied?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Just for the information, in the lottery today, $1 billion?
That was last night. It was won by one person.
Oh, my gosh.
A billion?
Yeah.
Who was it? My friend? Good friend?
Yeah.
Very dear friend?
It used to be.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't you, Gene?
Wow. Well, you did the next best thing, and that was getting that elk tag. So what did you do when you got the information that you were drawn? What was the first thing that you started to do to try to track these monsters down?
Well, the first thing I did was jump up and down in my office. I won. And called my wife and family. But no, I'd never elk hunted. So I started getting online and YouTube and television and internet and just reading about elk, finding out, you know, kind of how people hunt them. I've never hunted them. So did a lot of just research on you know, their migration and their movements and things like that.
Hmm. Did you go down pre-scout?
Yeah, just by accident. I found out in June, and just by accident, we were going floating down the Current River in July. We'd already planned it, and it's literally within 10 miles of where I shot the elk.
Wow. Man.
A little bit that weekend, and then went back one other weekend and floated the river one more day, and my wife was gracious enough to let me drive around for 2 days and look at areas.
Wow. Bugling was over, wasn't it?
And that's kind of surprised. That was the caveat of the trip. Some of those, I talked to the biologist, some of those cows either don't get bred or come in late, the young ones.
Uh-huh.
And when we found this herd, this guy was in about 40 animals. And when we found it, it was actually bugling.
Oh, cool.
Just unbelievable.
You do this on private or public land?
No, you can do either, but we were on public land. There's 50,000 acres total down there.
Nice. Oh, my gosh.
Nice.
My goodness.
So were you the only elk hunter in that area? Do you know?
No. There were five tickets or lottery tickets. One landowner had to stay on his land, and he had 80. He could only hunt his 80. The other four of us were all down there, and actually the first day, Saturday night, when the gentleman shot the first one, three of us were within a half mile of each other.
Oh, no kidding.
Goodness.
Yeah, I picked the wrong field. There were three fields. I picked one, he picked one, and another guy picked the third one. And the guy in the third field was called that 5x5 in, and the guy in the second field shot him.
Wow.
Here he comes.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, man. I tell you what, that is really, really, you know, you have to tip your hat to the MDC. Yeah, they got problems, but yet they're good humans. And to start this thing, was that first elk killed in, what, 100 years or something?
Yeah, you know. Elk were native to Missouri.
Yeah, we shot them out.
In the late 1800s, they were hunted to extinction.
Yeah.
Do you remember them back when?
Oh, yeah. I was right there in 1800. We was in a covered wagon coming across there.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Boy, what an honor. Man, it's so good to talk to you.
I'm thrilled to talk to you guys.
Well, this is just bigger than Dallas, as they say.
What'd you harvest it with? What caliber?
I had a Browning 30-06, and that'll work. Shooting 185 grains.
Wow.
So did you get this animal on your first day out, or tell me about the hunt?
Nah, we were on day five.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Day one and two, we were just seeing single elk, a spike bull here or maybe a cow. We hadn't seen a lot. And we were talking to the local people down there a lot. And they were all saying, we're just seeing singles where they're usually herded up. There's got to be a herd somewhere. And the night of day three, the afternoon, we found a herd over by – actually, they crossed the current river.
Hmm.
And so we found them the night of day three. We set up on them the morning of day four, found them again, but were late. The night of day four, we stayed in the same area that they were, but they didn't come back out till after dark. And then the morning of day five, we went back to the field where they had been, and they weren't there. And we drove about probably 2.5-3 miles down the road and set up in a different field, and they were in a different field. So that's where we found them.
Wow.
How many days was the season?
Originally 9 days.
Oh, so you still had a few to go. But 5 days were you getting a little nervous?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we were talking amongst ourselves, and we kept seeing these spikes, these 3x2, you know, small rack. But, I mean, the animals are big. And I'd actually stalked one. My son and I stalked one a couple times, and I was like, I think it was Monday, and I'm like, you know what? It's Monday. I've got 6 days to go, and I'm not going to shoot that 3x2. I'm just going to pass up on it. By day five, you're thinking, you know, that 3x2 looks good.
Right.
Yeah, we had said if that sucker's there Thursday, we're taking him. Yeah.
How far shot was it?
I shot him about 125 yards.
Oh, wow.
Did you drop him like a 3-foot putt?
No. I caught him in the field, and I hit him, but I hit him back.
Mm-hmm.
And he went, him and the herd, of course, they're people shooting at them. They went up on top of this, what we would call a hill, a mountain maybe. It was about 500 feet up.
Oh, gosh.
Vertical. And so we decided we weren't going to push him because he was wounded. We knew he was hit. We found blood. And so we backed out. And actually, the great move we probably made, we backed out, went around, and got between where he was and the field that we had seen him in the previous 2 days, thinking maybe the herd will go back there. He's not coming back this way, obviously.
Yeah.
And so we went back and around and got between where he was on the top of the hill and the fields we'd seen him in and set up. And about 45 minutes later, the herd came over off the top of the hill, and that's where I hit him. But the first time I hit him square in the chest, and he didn't go down.
Whoa.
And I literally just, I mean, he absorbed it like something from the Matrix or something.
Yeah.
And my jaw dropped open. I thought, my gosh, if that was a whitetail, I'd have flipped him because it was sure. up You know, it would have lifted a whitetail off the ground.
Yeah, sure.
He turned broadside, and I hit him the second time broadside, and that's what put him down.
Oh, my goodness.
What's the landscape like there? Did you have any hard time traversing it?
Oh, yeah, it's rough. Up and down. You'll travel 300 feet, 100 yards. You may have to travel up 400 feet vertical and then back down on the back side of it, and, you know, unless you just want to follow the rivers. And it's tough landscape, very heavily wooded. If the MDC hadn't cleared out food plots for them, it'd be really tough.
Oh, my goodness. You know, elk always die in the most inaccessible place in America. There is no. I shot one time. It was 6 miles from the road. Dumbest thing I've ever done in the outdoors. And I'd quarter him up, and it took us, five of us, 2 days to get him out of there.
Yeah.
And I got to my truck, and I thought, I'll never do this again. It was a great experience, but I'll never, ever do this again. It's just too much physical stuff. And I was in shape. That was back when I was probably weighed 155 pounds and could run, you know. And, wow, I mean, it was a man's job to get that elk out of there. So darn big. People don't relate to the size of these things.
We were fortunate. I shot him, and he was on top of the hill. So we got to drag him down.
No.
There was five of us pulling on him.
Is that right? Oh, my God. You got any idea how much that thing weighed?
They think about eight and a quarter.
Oh,
wow.
My gosh.
Yeah.
So that's a job right there.
Yeah. People just don't relate to him around here in the Midwest.
Yeah.
You know, you walk up to a 150-pound deer.
Right.
You know, and you know, still tussle, you know, sometimes to get him out, even with the guts out of him, you know.
Right.
And then to say something like that and move it, you know.
A quarter weigh that much.
Oh, yeah, dead weight. I mean, this is real dead weight.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Did you eat any of this yet?
You know, we took some of the back strap that first night, and we were down there, and we put it on a grill, and it was very, very tender, excellent meat.
Mm. Oh, it's unbelievable.
I love it.
Oh, that sounds good. Well, you know, it's almost a miracle, really, that you got drawn and you got an animal that big. But you also had another miracle in your life that I want to talk about. And the reason I want to talk about it, I am sick to death of all the negative stuff I see on the news, the COVID deaths, the new COVID cases, and all this crap. You never hear anything about the people that survive and any good news. Well, you've got a good news story that I wanted to share. And that is back in 2019, you were diagnosed with cancer. And here you are, hunting elk, which is one of the most physical things you can do as far as a hunter goes. But, I hate to ask personal questions, but could you tell your story about your cancer battle?
So in August of 19, I was diagnosed with head and neck cancer. I had it in my lymph node in my neck, and stage 4, actually 4B, it had metastasized into the muscle on the left side of my neck. I went through 3 rounds of chemo, 35 days, so 7 weeks, 5 days a week of radiation, and it was tough. I dropped about 65 pounds. Greg knows me before. He hadn't seen me after, I don't think, but I dropped 65 pounds. It was tough. The chemo was real hard on me because it was just dissolving this cancer. It put me in the hospital twice, and a couple times my wife didn't tell me then, but afterwards she said there was a couple times I was almost on the phone to call the kids to say you better get down here because he's not going to make it through the night.
Wow.
So and it's been a long, I'm still not back to where I was before the cancer, but you know, a lot of prayers and God brought me through it.
We sure did. He was looking out for you, wasn't he?
Yeah.
If I understand right, did you have to get talked in to even put in the lottery for the elk hunting?
Oh, no. I put in, but I never win these things. You know, football pots, World Series, chips. I just give my money away. Yeah. It's a donation. And I told my wife, I said, you know what, it's $10, but somebody's got to win. But if it's not, it's a donation to the MDC. You know, I'll never win. And somebody's got to win, and it was me this time.
Wow.
So when you got your cancer diagnosis, I mean, has that changed your life?
Oh, yeah. It's I don't look at life the same way anymore. The big things, they just don't even – you know, the thing that I thought was big that I would make a big deal out of before, I just don't worry about that. This elk hunting trip was probably magnified for me because I appreciated it so much more. I was talking in October of 19. I mean, there was times we thought, I'm not going to make Christmas. You know, it was bad there for a while. So, yeah, I look at life completely differently.
Well, there's a lesson to be learned for all of us right there.
Yeah.
Where'd you get your cancer treatment at?
KU.
KU. Wonderful people.
North and up off 435, KU Cancer Center up north.
Oh, wow.
Well, you got your elk. Do you have anything else on your bucket list?
No, I think my list is complete. Surviving killing elk is about all I got in me.
Gene, it's such an honor to talk to you, and you've had such a battle, and then you came through this so well, and then you killed this monster elk, and the only thing left is to win the $1 billion lottery, but I've been informed that that has been won by someone, and so, but get back in the game, Gil, so it's a pleasure to talk to you. I'd love to go hunting with you someday if you ever get a chance.
Well, if I get a chance, we'll do it. I still enjoy hunting. It takes me a little longer to walk through those fields, but I'm coming back, so maybe we'll do it one day.
Well, you sound great. Congratulations on beating the cancer, number one, but also on the elk. Let us know how that scores out.
Yeah, please.
I'll do it. I'll send you guys a picture and maybe get on here and talk about the scoring, that process one day.
Thank you for getting up and joining us, buddy.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. Have you ever listened to us before?
You know what? I never have. Usually Saturday I try to sleep in, but I'm going to have to get up and make you part of my routine.
Yeah, we love it. We absolutely love it. We got three listeners now. We're doing great. So
we got a lot more today because I posted on our Ford site, and there's a lot of them that wished you well over the last couple of days, Gene.
Hey, tell all those guys hi. I miss them, and good luck in all they do. Those are good guys over there at Ford. Yeah.
Thanks, Gene.
It's an honor.
It's an honor.
You. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
Take care.
We're out of radio time again, as usual. We didn't get to talk about SARS. How come?
Well, yeah.
Have you shot your pistol this week?
Not this week, no. But I will be doing it. I told you last week, my son and I, he got a new Glock. And it's a gorgeous gun, but it just, I'm sorry to say, it doesn't compare to SARS.
No comparison.
I know. And you know how good of a gun Glocks are.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the first time I shot a Glock, and I was... But it's been after I was shooting the SR.
Yeah.
And I was disappointed in it. But, yeah, I mean, it's still a great gun, but the SR is just mechanically just one of the best operating guns.
Gun of the Year, which is a very competitive deal. And, you know, I just can't put it down. Once you start shooting it, you don't ever want to stop.
Yeah. I know.
And I've
I'm
shot
only
it
limited by the rounds of ammo I can get.
I have not cleaned it. I've run 400 rounds through it. Still functions just like the day one.
Yeah, they're unbelievable.
And they're having record sales. The word is out on SAR pistol, SARUSA. If you can get your hands on one, which they're bringing in quite a few every front Monday, it's worth the wait. It really is worth the wait. They're just
I'm headed to Sportsman's Outfitter Marine.
Oh, yeah, we need
I had a leak in my boat that they got fixed this week.
Would you, Uncle Joe?
Joe, I'm going to see Joe this morning. And
what a great guy.
Yeah, get down there. Well, first of all, if you got a problem with your boat, nobody better take care of it.
Exactly right.
But those kayaks that they've got down there, those Jackson kayaks, they're cool.
Saw two Jacksons yesterday.
Yep. Check out the one that looks like a little catamaran.
Yeah,
it is incredible.
They're going to have a boat show?
I don't know. I'll find that out today.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
That wraps it up for this edition. Boy, this hour goes by fast.
Way fast.
It's all Blake's fault.
Well,
can we do another hour?
I wish.
Yeah, okay, me too.
Go Chiefs.
Go Chiefs.
Yeah, baby.
We don't have to worry about Chiefs, do we?
No.
Okay, all right. Got to go for this week. The next time we see you, I hope we see you in the great outdoors.
Have a great week. So long, everybody.